based around Romans 5:17. The whole 90-minute tape is based around that one verse when I begin to get revelation of Romans 5:17. But all, is that everybody in the church?
Yes.
That's not, it's all who receive. Do all of us receive this gift? No, we really don't. But all who receive God's wonderful, gracious gift of righteousness, we think we have it, but we really don't. If you tell me I go to church once in a while, you ain't got it. I don't like that preacher. I don't like what he says, so I ain't going back down there no more. You ain't got it. If he's preaching God's word, and you're not hearing God's word, you won't have this. And you're not living in triumph where you need to be. I guarantee you're living under sin and sickness and death. And it will cost you your life at an early day, just like that 28-year-old young woman. People say, I don't understand why a 28-year-old woman is dying with sickness. I can tell you what the problem is. It's sin. She's not living where she needs to be living. She's not obeying God's word. She's not in church. She's not in the word. That man, how many of you have heard God say in his word, you are to have no other gods before me? Have you ever heard that? What does that mean? Oh, so then how much time am I supposed to spend with the king? Oh, all of it. Literally, I'm supposed to spend all of it. When I wake up in the morning, what should be the first thing out of my mouth? Praise the Lord. That's exactly right. In fact, I walked by out here the other morning by Kathy, and I nearly got to the door, and she hollered, Pastor! I said, what's wrong? She said, I didn't hear my praise the Lord this morning. I said, oh, I didn't see you standing there, Kathy. But usually she hears me say it when there ain't nobody there. I'm just walking down the aisle saying, praise the King. Is that right, Rosemary? I'm praising the Lord all the time. I try to put Him first in everything I do all day long. I pray and talk to Him, drive down the road, sometimes with both hands up, and praising the Lord with my knee on my steering wheel. I know some people must think I'm crazy, but that's okay. I ain't trying to make nobody happy but God. He's the only one I'm trying to please. Because He said, if I receive, but to all who receive God's wonderful gift, that should be every one of us in this room. It's amazing that it took me so many years. I was in the room. I was in church, but I had no knowledge of this wonderful gift. And so I lived defeated compared to what I could have lived. When I began to get a hold of this and begin to learn that I could pray in the workplace and see God answer my prayers, it changed the way I did business. Man, changed the way I did business. In fact, I didn't realize the impact I was having on the women in the corporation that I worked for when I worked for the Marriott Corporation. Because I was a regional engineer and I traveled all over the country. And one day, the man from Washington called from HR and he said, Thurman, are you going to be in your office tomorrow? I said, well, yes, sir. He said, I need to come down and talk with you. I thought, oh, goodness, one of the big boys from HR is coming down here from Washington to talk to me. I wonder what I've done. Anyway, we'll see. So he got there the next afternoon. He walked in. He said, now, Thurman, you know we've just done a survey of the whole region of all of the executive staff. I said, yes, I know. I know y'all been doing that. And he said, we can't tell you how you scored. But he said, I'm going to tell you that we've never had a man score as high with the ladies as you did. And I said, what did I do? He said, obviously you do something they all like. He said, well, some of the women we talked to, I can't tell you, but he said, some of the women we talked to said, I would trust my life with that man, Thurman Scrivener. I thought, well, goodness, I don't know what I've did. He said, what is it that rules your life? I reached over on the corner of my desk, and I said, this is what rules my life. Amen. The Word of God. I said, I study this all the time. He said, well, obviously, you're doing it right. He said, I just had to come down. He said, corporate sent me down here to find out what you do because they've never had a man in an executive staff scored as high, especially from the ladies, as you did. He said, they all love you. And when they said, we would trust him with our life, he said, that spoke realms to us. He said, nobody else even come close. Now, what is it made the difference between me and all those other men? That book. I read that book. I lived that book. I walked that book. And whenever those women would be somewhere having a problem, I'd see one of them with a long face. I'd go over and sit down in the cafeteria with her and say, "Can I have dinner with you?" "Yes." I said, "You look like you're in depression or something wrong." "Well, yeah, my husband and I had a fight last night." And so I'd sit there and love on her, you know, and tell her what to do from the Word, comfort her and all these things. And they realized I was doing it from a godly standpoint. Like my wife said, the first time I ever met her, I looked at her and I just looked her straight in the eye and I said, "Ma'am, you're a very beautiful lady." And I turned and walked off and she said, "Gee, what a nice man. He wasn't hitting on me." See, I didn't even know what hitting on a woman meant. I never hit on a woman in my life. You know, "Oh, I might have. Okay, bang, bang." You know, that's the only kind of hitting I ever done. I'd do that in kid or something, you know. "Hey, girl, how you doing? Slap you on the shoulder or something." But I never do that with any other thoughts in my mind. But what kind of a life are we supposed to be living? A triumphant life. We're supposed to be living triumphantly. It says here, "For all who receive God's wonderful gracious gift of righteousness will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ." When sin comes to your door as a Christian, and it tries to get in, and is it going to do that? Oh, yeah, it's going to, oh, my goodness gracious. Every day, sometimes multitudes of times a day, sin's going to try its best to get into your life. This battle is raging all through your and my life, and it ain't never going to be over until we die and go home to be with Jesus. But do you and I have to sin anymore because of what Jesus did? No, I got a choice now. Before, I didn't have a choice. I mean, I might say, "Well, I don't want to sin, but I would anyway." I just like Paul. You know, "I didn't want to do this, but I did it anyway. I hate this, but I did it anyway." So, what is the answer? There it is right there. Jesus. Through this Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brought condemnation upon everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness makes all people right in God's sight and gives them life. Now, that's for those that receive Him by faith. Some people will read that and think, "See there, I have everything under control now, or Jesus does it, I'm okay." I mean, I've heard this so many times, "Well, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but now I don't have to go to church no more. You know, I can go out and live with my boyfriend or my girlfriend, and there ain't be no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm okay." Have you ever heard those kind of statements from people that say they're Christians? I hear them all the time. Well, let's go on down and see what the Scripture says. We go to 19 and 20. "Because one person disobeyed God, many people became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many people will be made right in God's sight." Now, that's you and me. We are made right when we accept Jesus by faith. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. If the law says you shall not covet, what does it mean? But is it possible to not covet? Not without Jesus, it's not. But with Jesus, you have that power, don't you, Tom? Now then, all of us know that when we first became Christian, or we might not have been a Christian, but I'll use it in this light, that when you first became a Christian, because I can take in my own life since I got saved at 11, after I got saved at 11, did I ever do anything that broke God's law between the time I was 11 and the time I was 25? Oh, my land. God, did I? Lord, thank you for your grace. Otherwise, I'd be dead. Now, I hope none of y'all are like me. I hope none of y'all had those kind of sins in your life from the time you were... How old were you, Terry, when you got saved?
25.
Oh, wow, you were 25. So from 25 to 35, did you sin any? Ooh, you mean you're going to just say just like I did, you were a dummy, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, was I a dummy? Oh, my goodness gracious. Was I a dummy? Scott, I guess I won't ask you that. Were you a dummy? You were too, huh? Have we all come short of the glory of God?
Yeah.
Why did we do that? Because we spent more time with the world than we did with the Word of God. We didn't know what sin was. And so we go through life thinking we're okay. And you may be saved, You may have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And what really gets me is when I see people that are supposedly born-again Christians and they ain't never got a smile on their face. Never. There's some people in my life I have never seen smile. It's something wrong. You don't know what you got. No, you ain't got it. You may have it, but you don't know you got it. You know, that's kind of like having a new Corvette in the garage. It was paid for. Or a new airplane in the hangar that's paid for. And somebody come by and said, I bought you a brand new turboprop there, and it's down there in the hangar. I said, yeah, sure. He said, here's the key. I said, yeah, sure. Oh, that's not the key to an airplane. $1 million airplane? Yeah, I bought it for you. It's down there in the hangar. Yeah, sure. I don't believe that. I think they don't throw that guy. Must think I'm crazy. He ain't going to buy me $1 million airplane. 10 years later, I go down there to the hangar one day, and I think, I'll open that hangar, look in, and there sits that brand new. It ain't been flown in 10 years. Been sitting there. Was it mine all the time?
Yes.
Yeah. Did I get to enjoy the benefits of it? No.
Mm-mm.
Why? Because I wouldn't believe what he told me. Did Jesus tell us the truth?
Yes.
Do we believe him? Most of us do not. I didn't for years. I did not. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful kindness became more abundant. Verse 21 and 22. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful kindness rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you really are a born-again Christian and you really know Jesus and you accepted him by faith as your Lord and Savior, you have eternal life. You have eternal life. It says so in the Word. Now, in chapter 6, verse 1. Romans 6, 1. This is a wonderful statement. Well, then, that we have received this wonderful eternal life, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more kindness and forgiveness?
No.
Oh, no, why not? I mean, isn't sin fun?
No.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Live a Triumphant Life, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.